1924 was a year in which a young couple came to West London, settled in for a little while. Their names were Robert and Kathleen, and we liked them all once because we knew that they had come from working as missionaries in the Ukraine and in Russia, even in Siberia. So we got to know them, and shortly after moving to London, Robert Magwood, who we know as Mags, was asked to take over the directorship of Send International, the sending ministry under which he and Kathleen had served. And so for these 8 years, the Magwoods have been a part of our church, and we have come to know and to value the work of Send. And so once every 2 years, there's a Sunday set aside for us who are new to the church to hear and for the rest of us to be reminded and stirred again about the work of Send International. So I'm glad to call Mags to the stage and ask you to kindly take over the place. Thank you.
Well, good morning, friends. The 11 o'clockers. I'm an 11 o'clocker, too. Really privileged to have the opportunity to share with you this morning here in our home church, where we've come to love people and settle in with people and life group and 11 o'clock or 9:15. This morning, it's my privilege to present to you one ministry which is seeking to be effective around the world. And so I'm going to ask you to come on a bit of a journey with me to raise our eyes from the very important work that takes place right here in London and in Ontario, and to consider again the great task of global evangelism, planting the church and spreading the good news of the kingdom, and doing what we do here in London, making known the greatness of God, but to the ends of the earth in this case. And using our Matteo, for those of us who are familiar with what we mean by Matteo here, taking and using that, considering what it means to do that in a global context. As Mike mentioned, my name is Mags, and I've had the chance to meet many of you. Kathleen and I were appointed, we actually came here in 2004, and in 1994, we were appointed to be international workers with SEND to go to the former Soviet Union. We say international workers sometimes now because there are parts of the world where it's not wise to call yourself a missionary. It's unsafe, or you might not even be welcomed in if you have the name missionary. For this this presentation in our home church, I actually found an old slide, an old picture. Steve, show us that picture, if you would, please. What did we look like in those days? That was us then. That's a while ago. Jonathan was in arms. He's now an inch or two taller than I am. And we had the privilege of serving first in Kiev, Ukraine, and then we moved out to Siberia. We went through Moscow. This is what most people think of when they think of Russia. Yeah, Red Square and St. Basil's Cathedral, the Kremlin over there on the side. And then we moved out to a province that's in central Siberia called Krasnoyarsk. That's the province, and that's the city there. And so we lived there where I was involved with a small Bible school. So a little language lesson here. We're going to speak just a little bit of Russian together. To speak Russian well, the R's aren't just they're brr. You try that? Try that. That's pretty good. So when you say this city name, it's not actually Krasnoyarsk, it's Krasnoyarsk. Okay? So I'm going to get you to try it. Krasnoyarsk. Ready? Go. Krasnoyarsk. Oh, very good. Excellent. The Russian speakers. It's super. It means actually Red Cliff, and it's actually a very large city. Over a million people live in Krasnoyarsk. Out in the Siberian Peninsula. It actually, if we put it in Canada, it would be in St. James Bay. That's how far north it is, just to give you an idea there. So we serve there with Send International, and that's the organization I'd like to introduce you to this morning. This is what our crew looks like now. The Lord added to us Tim and Anna, and we serve in the Canadian office here, and appreciate your prayers. If the Lord brings us to mind as there's work in the office here, some of our team are here this morning. Glad you could join us. And I also have opportunity to go abroad and to see our missionaries. In just a couple of weeks, I'll travel to Asia and get a chance to see some of our folks who are in Thailand and in Macau and Hong Kong area. Massive populations, as we'll talk about actually in a couple of minutes, in those areas where the Lord is at work. We use three important words in our mission statement in Send International. I'd like to introduce those three words to you. I'm actually going to do it in reverse order because I want to show you the goal that we have in mind first. This organization exists to establish reproducing churches. Our goal is to plant churches and establish them so that they are strong and healthy, they are resilient when difficulty comes, and that they will stand in an indigenous or independent way, so that in time our missionaries can step back from the work and it will be truly indigenous, it will be truly local in its form. That's our goal, that's our final goal, to establish the church. To do this, we seek to engage unreached peoples. There are many wonderful ministries going on around the world. We're going to look at a map in a couple of minutes. SEND's focus is to try and get to those places where people have little or no opportunity to hear the gospel, where the church does not exist, where they don't have youth groups or children's programs. And so that's the particular focus of our organization, getting to those places. And in order to do that, we seek to mobilize God's people. By mobilize, we mean to help people get ready for action or service, to get into the action, as it were, and to be involved right where we are locally, but also at a distance. Now, this is a point where some people in a presentation for missions begin to change channel just a little bit, because they tend to think, well, if you're talking about being a missionary, that doesn't really apply to me, and so I can just listen politely. But when we talk about mobilizing, I want to think of it on two levels. The first is thinking about mobilizing goers, people who will go. They will lift out of their lives here, in this case in North America, and travel to another place, sometimes it's far away, and they will take the message of the good news with them. They will be the goers. But I also want to think very specifically, very intentionally, about mobilizing senders. The people who will support the goers with concern and love and with financial support and with prayer support. We want to mobilize for the mission, not just mobilize the goers. So when we think about that, if we wanted to mobilize, engage in order to establish, which is more important, the goers or the senders? It might be a trick question. I would submit that they're both vitally important, and so that this presentation, even this morning, is relevant to us who are here and who may not be goers, but there is a role for everyone to play in global mission. I'm going to do something very challenging this morning, audacious even. All of us have busy lives. It's 2012 in Canada. But I'm going to ask you to pause for this half hour that we have together, to lift our view from the local and to think far away, to think long range, to think about global missions. Would you do that for a few minutes? Let's pray together. Father, we want to commit our way to you, even for these minutes here, to think about the world, to learn, and Lord, to consider how we, as your people here in London, here part of West London Alliance Church, might continue to be involved and might begin to be involved in the great task of reaching the nations. I pray that you would guide our time, guide my words and our thoughts and our prayers, and make it a fruitful time for your purposes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I would like to just give you a very quick outline of what we're going to do. First, I'm going to look very quickly at some mission trends and the state of world evangelism. Then we're going to take just a moment to look at God's Word and to remind ourselves of the instructions that God has given to us in His Word. And then thirdly, I'm going to overlay SEND International into some of these realities. So we'll do those three things together. First, I invite you to watch this.
What do you think about God? What are your thoughts on God?
I think God, it's not exist.
It's an idea that human beings made up, because we need to believe in something else, not just this world.
I believe in some power, but I'm not sure if it's like God or in if it's cut in a like Christian way.
He's in three forms: Father God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ.
I don't believe in him, so I have no opinions about him.
According to my opinion, something must exist up, but nobody knows what is it. Yeah, the animals, flowers. Yeah, who did it?
I am in the middle, in between a religious and a non-religious person, because the way I understand God is maybe not the way religious people believe in God. So it's my own version, I imagine, right? A God made by me, in a way.
One of the main taboos to admit the idea of God is that the suffering in the world.
It's not like that, like I'm not believing in God. It's just that I don't care.
I believe that there was someone like Jesus on earth, but
so I agree.
I can't say he was God and he was Son of God. It's very problematic.
He was killed and he resurrected, and that he was Son of God.
Yes, he was real person. I believe on it. God's Son. Yes, because we all are God's children.
History has sometimes changed so many things from reality. I have my doubts.
So I know about Jesus, you know, I know about Bible and everything. And here we just use it as some kind of way of escape. I'm sorry to say that.
Are you religious?
Yeah.
What religion are you?
Christian.
And what do you believe about Jesus?
Jesus? I'm a little bit... I am a bit at a loss there, because you gave me such a question. I have never got it, yeah. It's very difficult to answer, yeah. I don't know.
Those interviews were conducted in Europe, which we now call post-Christian. There was a form, and is a form, of the church in some cases, but in some cases, sadly, very little true understanding of who Jesus is. I'm a Christian, but when asked, what do you believe about Jesus, at a complete loss for words and for understanding. I was visiting with the worship team a little bit before and just observing the striking difference between what we have here, that we understand who Jesus is. Redeemer, healer, Lord God Almighty. We have the good news. We have the hope of the truth. And we have also the challenge of sharing it with the world. Just before we come to these trends, I want to let you know, it's actually at the bottom of the little handout that was in the bulletin, if you have that. We've put up a temporary special web page on the website, especially for this morning. And so the PowerPoint will be there, and I would call it like bonus features after this presentation, because I just can't put it all in. In fact, I'm going to talk about four trends. The 9:15 service just got three trends. That's how it went. So I invite you to stop by the website there. Also invite you to stop by one of the two booths that we've set up, or tables, of information. We've chosen three pieces of literature to put onto those tables. One is our little white book, which shares a little bit about our 70-year history and how we work in teams and the places that we work. The second is a bookmark. I'd encourage you to consider this one. It's called Pray for Your Missionary, and it has a prayer topic for each day of the week. And you might tuck this in your Bible and keep it with you there to pray for someone. It doesn't have to be a send missionary, of course, but you can pray each day very specifically for the missionary. On the other side is how to pray for missionary kids, young people who live in other contexts, other cultures. And then if you're interested in considering missions, short or long term, there's a brochure that looks like this one, and it has a map of the world and different opportunities through send. Short term, anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 years. We do teams, We do student internships. We're really working to try and get university students onto the mission field so that they can do some of their practica and things like that on-site on the mission field. And, of course, long-term missions where people actually go and will work on learning the language. We've decided to put these booths up in a different spirit. There's one just out in the front foyer there. We're calling that the self-serve booth. We've learned that some people like to pick up literature, but they don't actually like to make eye contact with anybody from the organization, just in case. Person is a missionary, you know. So at the front, it has the same literature there. That you can just help yourself. There's one summary page that seeks to put the whole message and these main ideas together on one page. Help yourself there. In the back foyer over here, members of our team are near that table. So if you've got questions and you'd like to learn or talk some more about this, then we'd be delighted to have a conversation with you there. And there's no age limit, by the way. There's no one too young to go by the booth and to have a look, and no one too mature to go by the booth. So, we think of global missions. Let me set the context. How are we doing in global missions? What's happening these days? From the website, it's an excellent website called the Joshua Project. They have created a very helpful pie chart. They've divided the world into three macro units. You're going to see green, yellow, and red. Green is good, so to speak. The church has been established. This would indicate a measurement. It's very difficult, of course, to measure these things. But this is saying that the population of this particular people group is 2% evangelical Christian or more. That's what's green, 2% or higher. Yellow is a place where the church has not matured to the point where we might think that independently they can keep going on their own. And so there's an opportunity to help and to serve in those places so that the church can move, so to speak, from the yellow into the green. And then there's the red part of the pie, where far less, usually less than half of 1%, would consider themselves to be evangelical believers. And by that I mean people who believe that Jesus is the Son of God based on the truth of God's Word, the Bible, and that He has paid the price for the sins of humanity and might be received by faith. And if we put percentages on top of these, the established church, 41%, the formative church, growing up, 16%, which leaves an incredible 43% of the world's population. Last night I went on the world population clock, and as of October 20th, the human population was estimated to be 7,046,000,000. 7 billion people. If we take 43% of 7 billion, it puts us somewhere 2.9 to 3 billion people would comprise the population of the red piece of the pie. So where do these folks live? If we took those same three categories and overlaid them on a world map, this is what it looks like. Just make a general observation here and think about the places represented there. How easy is it and how natural is it for people from Canada to go to the red places? How welcome do you think that we would be in some of those red places? It's brought us as missiologists to create something, a term. We call it the 1040 window. Call it the 1040 window because between 10 degrees north latitude and 40 degrees north latitude is where most of those people are, where most of those red countries are. 86% of unreached peoples are in that window. And so it's a priority. It's a priority for SEND to increasingly engage there. And here I would want to add, there are certainly many valid Christ-honoring ministries that take place in the yellow and the green as well. But we simply want to observe that this is where the gospel does not exist yet. And so SEND has chosen to make it our increasing priority. We work in yellow and green as well, but our increasing priority is to get to those red areas. So with this in mind as a context, I'd like to share with you just very quickly four global mission trends. Four things that are shaping the way we're going about this work of reaching out to these people. The first is technology. I'm wondering, how many of you 10 years ago So if this is 2012, we're going back to 2002, how many of you would have had a cell phone 10 years ago? There are a few people. How many of you have a cell phone now? Most. It goes without saying that technology is changing our world, the way we communicate, the way we transport ourselves, the way we can move around. If I were to say, I challenge you to be at any place on the planet, and I gave you a gold card with any sum available on it, within about 36 hours, you could be any place on this planet. Ready, set, go. That's the capacity that we have these days. And it's changing the way we do missions. We can leverage technology, and so we are. We're seeking to leverage technology, and in fact, we have evangelism and discipleship taking place in some of those red countries through the internet. It's very discreet. It's very quiet. And Bible studies and Bible schools are taking place over the internet. Second trend, migration. People in this world are moving. Sometimes, like these folks, can you imagine? Can you imagine how serious, how bad the situation would need to be for people to get onto a craft like this, hope against hope, that it would arrive someplace safe? Refugees. There are the trends of urbanization. The world is moving to the cities. For the first time in human history, in 2008, more people lived in cities than lived in rural areas. And that trend continues. We have centers around the world, especially in Asia, where there are 20 or even 40 million people in a single mega city. 40 million people. And so it affects how we're thinking about missions. We need our missionaries to be effective in the cities. Why do people move to the cities? Why would people move from a village to the city? Jobs. Jobs and education are the two main things that people are looking for. The opportunities that they want to access. And it creates opportunity for the gospel as well. I'll refer to this in trend number four. The other thing about migration is diaspora peoples. Even within our church right here, this afternoon, there is the Mandarin congregation that meets. Chinese communities right here in London, and there are other communities as well, that have moved from their homeland and come to different places, and so the gospel has become accessible to them. If they lived in their homeland, it might not reach them there. But they've come to us. The mission field has come to us. Number three is emerging mission movements. This is a picture taken at our recent training program in Manila, because there are more missionaries coming up, more goers coming up out of the Philippines now than many other countries in the world. And so SEND is seeking to adapt our training. We in the West need to redefine what our contribution is, because these dear folks have received the gospel. This is where missionaries went. This is where SEND began in the Philippines, but now they've matured to the point that they're sending out their own missionaries. It's a wonderful development to have. And finally, number four is BAM. 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 Does anyone know what I mean by BAM? The worship team can't say because you were here in the first service. BAM means business as mission. Business as mission. How will we... I did not ask him to say that. Thanks, Dad. SEND is wrestling with this because in our classical model of ministry, we have had religious vocational workers, people that went to Bible school or seminary and got a degree and then did evangelism and church planting and church, Bible studies and things like that. All of that we will continue to do, but we're trying to engage the world of business, professions that will go, because that red zone that we had in the map before can be accessed by businessmen or by professionals who will be Christ followers and very intentionally go to those places. Just 2 weeks ago, I met a gentleman who owns a business. He's an American, but he owns a business in Malaysia. He's a Christian. They know he's a Christian. They know why he's there. In fact, the Muslim authorities came to his business, and they said, "We know you're a Christian." And he said, "Yes, I am." And we know that you're running this business. We're here to interview your people. Well, there wasn't anything he could do, and so they went right to his Muslim workers. This Christian gentleman has hired Muslim people to work. This is a for-profit business. And they went to the Muslims and they said, "Is this man proselytizing you?" And they said, "Yes, he is." And this gentleman thought, "That's it, I'm done. I can start packing now." But then the Muslim worker said, "But this is the best place we have ever worked. It's like working for a family. This gentleman is honest. He pays us a good wage for our work. You would be crazy to shut down this work because we all have jobs because he's here." And the Muslim authorities said, "Oh, okay, you can stay." Bam, is opening doors that we really need to carefully think through. So these are four trends. We want to engage the trends with God's word in our hand. I left my Bible down here, just going to grab it. On the sheet in the bulletin, there's some fill-in-the-blanks. I'd like to fill in some of those blanks with you. I'm just going to choose one of the main verses that we have listed there. We're not going to read each verse. But if you'd like to fill in those notes there. The first thing, I just need to get that page. God's design for reaching our world. God's people are to, firstly, pray. And I'd like to read the verse from Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Paul says this, "Yes, and I will rejoice." Do you remember where Paul is writing from in Philippians? Where is Paul when he's writing this? He's in prison because he's been preaching the gospel. "I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." My situation will turn out for my deliverance. He goes on to say that because of what has happened to me, the gospel has been made known throughout the entire palace guard, and the other Christians are more courageous because they've seen my example. But he says this here, "I know, my dear friends, that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." Do you know that your prayers make a difference? In the mystery of what prayer is and how it works and how God listens and responds, our prayers make a difference. Do you believe this, church? And so I want to challenge us to think together about how we might be praying for missions. I want to show you a quick slide of folks. 28, please, Steve. These are folks that have gone out from our church and are serving in mission. It's not everyone. But do you recognize some of the folks here? Danny and Vera were actually here this morning. Steve and Pam are in Southeast Asia working for Trans World Radio. Pam works in holistic mission in the whole Southeast area. She's just been made coordinator of the Southeast of Asia. Steve teaches in a school there. Danny and Vera have a rehabilitation ministry and church plant in Serbia. Richard and Hope are in Mexico City doing leadership development there. And who are these characters over here? Oh, the Mission Peru team. This last summer in Peru, we sent a couple of dozen of our people down there, some young people there. I'm actually going to pause here just for a moment. And I'd like to pray for these folks. It means we'll need to go quickly through the rest of the outline. That's okay. But let's pray for our missionaries. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? I'll be quiet for just a few seconds. And would you pray for the Lord's encouragement? Pick one of these families or one of the group there. And would you pray now for encouragement to their heart, that the Lord would meet their needs today? And would you pray that their ministry would be fruitful and effective to do a good job? And would you pray that the Lord would send out more workers to join them? They need help. Lord, we lift these dear friends up to you. our fellow West Londoners and ask that you would bless them even this day. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, God's people are called to pray. Secondly, God's people are called to give. Sometimes money is an uncomfortable topic, and I don't mean to make it uncomfortable. I simply mean when I'm talking to people about missions to put the opportunity before them and then invite them to consider what God has brought to their attention. I hope it doesn't affect my relationship with them or with the church to say that it's important to give from our relative riches here in North America to help with this great endeavor that's going on. The verse that I'd like to read is from Matthew 6. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Are we reflective on how we use our finances? And are we leveraging them into God's purposes because we are called to give? And finally, number three, God's people are called to go. And sometimes it may be short-term, but not always short-term. I don't want to shy away from putting before you the rather unpopular challenge of considering laying down your life here and taking the good news of the gospel to a place where they haven't heard it yet. I believe that God is still raising up people to serve in missions from Canada. And although the numbers are less than they used to be, shrinking in fact, that the Lord isn't finished with us. Short-term opportunities sometimes come in teams, they come in individuals, they come as families. Short-term mission, this happened to me actually, short-term missions can turn your world upside down. Especially if you're into wakeboarding. This was an outreach ministry this summer in Croatia, where some of these athletes, incredible athletes, came. They're Christ followers, and they did these tricks. They invited the kids to participate in it and had a wonderful ministry. You can imagine the crowd that formed on the beach seeing this take place. And then the missionaries who are there long-term came along and had opportunity to fold these kids, invite them to the youth group and to the meetings that they were having. It's a great thing, way we can use short-term missions. Sometime I'd love to tell you about my story in short-term missions. I was one of these people. That's not me. A short-term mission turned my life upside down. Are we going? Jesus said this in Matthew 28. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So we are called to pray and to give and to go. If you're interested in considering going with no strings attached, I'd be delighted to have conversation with you, sit over a cup of coffee, and to wonder, would a short-term mission work? Would the Lord be leading you to longer-term missions? And may I say this, if you do hear that still small voice, please don't set it aside. I have met many people who, years after they first heard that voice, tried to put it away and say, I've got other priorities, I've got other ideas, I've got other things going on in my life, but realized later that they were missing some of what God was calling them to. Be courageous. And take up some of the high ambitions of using whatever God has given to you, your skills and talents, yes, locally, but maybe globally as well. Well, I'd like to quickly overlay send over top of these things, the context, the biblical framework that we have. So, just these last few fill-in-the-blanks. I lost page 7. Oh, here it is. Years ago, send looked like this. It was begun by some GIs, some servicemen and women from the United States who were in the Pacific Theater. And they saw the need and began a ministry even while they were in the service. And when they came back to the United States, they began to form a mission that they called Far Eastern Gospel Crusade, and they believed that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus saves on the front of the lectern there. Some things about SEND have not changed. The gospel message has not changed and will not change. But some things have changed as well. For example, the way we get around. Now we don't have to take a boat to get to the mission field. Usually we take airplanes. Sometimes they look like this one. And sometimes they land really, really short. We still fly in 747s. In Asia, they line them up, and it's just like a taxi lot. They're all 747s there. You got to watch it when they come in this low, though. Be careful. We use other things. A logo up in the top corner. Do you recognize this logo? What does it stand for? Right. And another, Steve? What's this? Right. And? Right. And? All of these tools we are using. So what I want to say is that SEND is both old and new. If you're jotting in the little blanks there, that's what fits in there. SEND is both old and new. Please pray for us and organizations like that as we wrestle, because we have classical models and we need to continue to be learning organizations so that we're effective in the coming days. Secondly, I want to show you just quickly the world of SEND. This is where our missionaries serve, just quickly. In the far north, we call it SEND North, across Alaska, Yukon, Northwest, and Nunavut territories. Across Europe, in a number of places. The former Soviet Union we called Eurasia. And in Southeast Asia here. This is where the mission was born. But we also realize that SEND cannot do it all. There are many places that we're not reaching, and so we want to cooperate together with other agencies. These are where our partner organizations work. Cross Global Link's the name of the association. But just to show you quick, where are the other places that they work? In North America, Latin America, Africa, Western Europe, and across the subcontinent and down onto the islands. We want to work as a team. SEND wants to, that fits in the second blank there, play as a team. Rather than being in competition with other ministries, with other organizations that are supported even by the church here, IJM, International Justice Mission, a wonderful newer mission that's doing great work, Compassion Canada, a wonderful ministry. It is not my desire at all to try and draw attention off and say, stop supporting one of those ministries to begin supporting SEND. I don't mean that. But rather that we are a body doing this big task of global mission, doing it collectively, doing it together, and working together. And happily, we're bringing down some of those walls that have existed. I liken it to a body. It's a body. We have different skill sets. These organizations are different. Pastor Mike says, as a church, the church body, we're like bricks in the wall, and each of us need to find our place to fit into the wall. Or like here, where each piece is actually unique, but God fits it into a particular place to make it effective. Mission agencies are a lot the same. We need to work together, and we're seeking to do that more effectively. And lastly, I'd like to ask you to read with me a few verses here. Let's read together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in God's Son is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And one more page. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? The last fill in the blank. SEND is all about sharing Jesus. We believe that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. And he is the savior of the whole world, including the 2.9 billion people who have yet to hear his name. And I would invite you to consider how we, as children of the promise, would participate in this. Would the Lord move you to pray in a different way, in a new way? Would He lead you to give? Would He lead you to go? I trust that He is yet at work around us and among us. I'm going to invite the worship team to come, if you would, please. In this last song, you'll hear this challenge to the church to take the gospel to the world. We are the ones who have the truth, and we want to share it in a way that honors the listener and honors our Father in heaven. I would encourage you to engage the Great Commission. Engage the Great Commission. Church, engage the Great Commission. And if you've sensed through this what you've heard very briefly about SEND, that maybe it's an organization you would resonate with and we could be helpful to you somehow, we'd be glad to have that conversation with you. May the Lord lead us and guide us as we seek to be effective in these days to reach people who have yet to hear, but ultimately for the honor of our King. Amen. Thank you.